Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with a little bit of a message up front about what you are about to hear. This is part two of our Survivor March Madness tournament that we started a week ago on the podcast. What you're about to hear is the results from the Survivor Supreme Court that we got. So many people filled out their brackets and sent them to myself, Akiva, and Randy Neupel, and we've gone through so many and looked at what you guys had to say. So that's what you're about to hear. If you want to still fill out your bracket, you could do that at robhasawebsite.com/March Madness and get the bracket there. It's a PDF file. You got to scroll down. You could download it and print it and play along with us. And I'm posting this podcast here on Monday. This is traditionally the spot for the wiggle room, but unfortunately we had some scheduling difficulty last minute. Josh and I were not able to record a wiggle room for this week, so you have this podcast here today on Monday. I'll still have the David Bloomberg podcast on Tuesday, and then I'll have a Big Brother Canada podcast on the Wrap Ups Tuesday night before we do our live know-it-alls on Wednesday. So that's just a little bit of a heads up of what's coming up this week. Of course, you can get all of the podcasts when you subscribe, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing your reactions to our Survivor March Madness tournament here on Rob as a Podcast. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with part two of our Survivor March Madness tournament, aka our Survivor March Mad Dogness tournament. And here we are to go through our bracket. First off, let me bring you the man who first had the idea of a 32-person Survivor winners tournament. Welcome back to the podcast, Randy Neupel. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. I'm excited to see what you guys think. Who do you think's going to win?
Yes. Okay. Well, I have filled out my bracket, tried to predict what the Survivor Supreme Court is going to do, as we laid out in part one. The man who I am going to be matching brackets with is back with us here today, Akiva Winokur. Keeve, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've been studying. I really like analyzing the profiles of all 10 voters, trying to figure out where they would go with these things, and I'm pretty sure I won.
Okay. All right. Keeve, are you ready to have your bracket busted?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, what are we playing for?
Well, we have made some stakes. We talked about in the last podcast about how we were going to come up with a bet, and it's always tricky to figure out these things with Akiva, but so it is well known that Akiva hates all things science fiction. And so, Akiva, if you lose the bracket battle to me, I'm going to make you watch an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and then I will have a 10-question quiz for you that you need to get 7 of the 10 questions right. You need to get a passing grade on the quiz, or you'll be sentenced to watch another Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
See, I was nervous you were going to say I'd have to watch all 7 Star Wars movies. I think there's more than 7 now also.
Yeah.
I've never seen them. So that, you know, one episode of TV, even though I'm sure it's atrocious, is much easier than 7 terrible movies.
And I'll let the listeners help me pick out which episode. I don't know if we want to do a really good episode or a really bad episode. So sure, we'll figure that out. Okay. So what are the stakes if somehow your bracket is better than mine?
I was trying to think of, like, what do you really hate? So I was thinking, like, maybe giving money to charity. But that doesn't really equal. That doesn't really equal what you know, you do. So I figured something along the lines. So you, if you lose, you have to come on my podcast that you are not the co-host of, 32 Fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we are having a hot takeoff in a few weeks. Myself and my co-host, Alex Chester.
Yes.
We're going to fire up the takes. And it's basically like a roast battle, but for takes. Like, I have some takes that are literally going to melt the earth. And I'm sure he does too. His are probably just very dorky. And then, so you will be the judge of this hot takeoff.
Am I the judge or a judge? Like, am I on the hot take Supreme Court?
I don't know. You think we could get like 3 judges? I guess, you know, I don't know. It's annoying recording with like 5 people, but we could discuss this off.
All right, we can discuss. If I lose, we'll figure this all out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then both of us have locked in our brackets and sent them off to Randy. Randy, have you received both mine and Akiva's bracket?
I see them. That is correct.
So, and then for those of you guys who did not fill out a bracket yet, this is your last chance to play along. Go to robisawebsite.com/marchmadness. You can download a PDF of the bracket that was seeded in our part one of this podcast, and you can play along. We are going to be going through the results round by round and getting the results of the Survivor Supreme Court, a group of nine people based on three fans of Survivor, three podcasters, and it's actually one of those three podcasters actually two people, and then three former Survivor players, and we will be getting majority opinions and some maybe dissenting opinions from the results of the Survivor Supreme Court as we go through this. So, Randy, take it away. How do you want to break down the bracket?
We'll just go straight from top to bottom.
And then Akiva and I will weigh in with our opinions, especially when there is a difference in opinion. What is the first matchup we're going to be talking about here today?
So we're going to start with our one seed that we identified in the last podcast. We had our one seed, Kim Spradlin versus the number 32, Bob Crowley.
Kim versus Bob.
Next. 9-0, Kim. If okay. Someone voted for... Okay, so we said last week that if someone has like a really egregious Philbin vote, then we kick them out right away and then we redo this whole thing with a new ninth member. This would be one of those. I think if someone voted for Bob, they're booted from the Supreme Court forever. And remember, we're also trying to figure out the worst person on the Supreme Court and the MVV, the most valuable voter.
Randy, what did the and Akiva and I both have Kim, presumably. What did the Survivor Supreme Court say about this matchup?
Well, in the words of Megan Z, this is Khaleesi versus the man who won 4-3 to Susie Smith. Kim Spradlin wins this one 9-0.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right. Both brackets unbusted so far. Okay. Where do we go now?
Next up, we have a 16-17 toss-up, a potential for a bracket bust. We have the number 16, Ethan Zahn, versus the 17, Sophie Clark. It's a tough matchup.
Keeve, I struggled with this one. How did you see it?
I mean, you know, the 16-17s are always a toss-up, really.
always.
I just think, like, I love Sophie, but I just think that there's more, like, Ethan, just there's more, like, love towards Ethan. He's a little solid. I try and think, like, where do the game bots go, you know? I feel like the game bots are going Ethan here. Mike is such an old school guy, right? Mike's going Ethan over Sophie. Really, I'm trying to figure out where every voter would go.
Yeah.
You know, some of them are wild cards. I don't know. You know, I don't know who Allie favors and stuff. I'm saying that Ethan Zahn won this matchup.
I, too, went with Ethan here. It was a real toss-up for me. I think in a lot of ways they're similar players where both of them had sort of the game plan to sort of like stay the course. You're not going to do anything too flashy. They were with people in Lex and Coach who were sort of more bombastic figures who were going to take a lot of the bullets along the way. A lot of people say that Lex would have won if he got to the final tribal council with Ethan, where Sophie actually got to the final tribal council with the person who was out in front in that season. But I think Ethan won more challenges, so I went with Ethan.
So when we look to our Survivor Supreme Court, this was a close one. And as Keeve noted earlier, we got Mike Bloom on here. And Mike Bloom says, Ethan and Sophie both went to the end with their allies. Sophie arguably went up against her strongest allies while Ethan went against the weaker. Therefore, Sophie wins it by a nose. 5-4.
Oh, an upset.
Mm. Wow. Remember, in advance, everything I say is wrong.
Okay.
I'm almost always wrong.
What was it? 5-4 for Sophie.
5-4. 5-4 for Sophie. Yep.
Okay. And I guaranteed Mike would vote for Ethan, and he was the dissenting opinion.
You were right. On Ethan. Okay. All right. So both of us have a blemish on our bracket as Sophie.
No perfect bracket for the millionth straight year. No perfect bracket.
Okay.
It was a $5 million, you know, some insurance company offered $5 million for us to have a perfect bracket.
All right, Randy, what about this Denise versus Tina matchup?
Yeah, we have a tough, as you mentioned earlier, there's not very Survivor winner moms, and we have two of them right here. So we got a close matchup here. Who do you guys think's got this one?
Keeve, how did you see the 8 seed Denise up against the 25 seed Tina?
I mean, this could be one of the biggest upsets of the tournament. But I'm going to predict that Denise beat Tina 5-4.
I'm not going to predict the number of Survivor Supreme Court justices that went with Denise, but I also had Denise advancing against Tina, Wes, and Randy.
Yeah, Denise went to every single tribal council, but walked away with this one 6-3 over Tina.
Okay.
So not a big surprise there. Denise is a big winner. She's much more recent winner and seems to have a lot of respect for after going to every single tribal council.
All right, so kudos to Denise moving on from the thrifty 32 into the sweet 16. And now we have the matchup Earl versus Danny, two one-time players who won in the early teens of Survivor. Keith, who did you advance, Earl or Danny?
I advanced Earl. I think Earl at most loses one vote here.
Earl versus Danny. I think it's closer than you think, but I also went with Earl.
Yeah, and according to Dom and Colin, they would have loved to see Danny get a different matchup, but they had to vote for Earl because of his dominance of the game. So as Keith predicted, Earl wins this one 8-1.
8-1, wow. Oh, Keith could be locked in.
Wow.
Okay.
By the way, Randy, that's wheels to you.
Earl moves on to the Sweet 16 from the Thrifty 32. And now we have the number 4 seed, Yul Kwan, takes on the number 29 seed, Natalie White. Keeve, was this another shutout?
It's a shutout. Also, someone right now tweeted Russell Hans and say, did you hear that Natalie White was named the greatest winner of all time on an RHAP podcast?
I don't need to be murdered over this, Keeve.
Yeah, listen.
It'll what are you fun. Talking about?
I feel like it's like a new reformed Russell right now. I feel like he won't mind. He'll agree.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
No, I don't. Okay. You're actually the only Survivor I follow.
Okay. All right. Well, this is high praise.
I got nothing to say.
All right.
Not 9-0 Yul.
Randy?
Yul did win, but it was 8-1.
8-1. Wow. What was the dissenting
opinion?
Who voted
for Natalie White over Yul?
Our dissenting opinion was Shireen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Shireen voted for Natalie.
Did she say why?
She said that even though she played in Russell's shadow most of her game, her social game enabled her to infiltrate the other tribe and sway a key vote their way.
Yeah, but Yul.
I agree. I'm just reading the opinions of the Supreme Court here.
Okay.
Doesn't Yul work for Google? Is this like a Google versus Yahoo thing?
Oh.
There might be more to this.
We gotta dig a little deeper. Pull out the thread on that one.
Did Shireen give a reason? Like, I think you may have just read it and I'm not paying attention. But I don't know, Shireen. I just said all these nice things about you and I take some of them back.
Yeah, I take some of them back. Wow. Controversial take from a Survivor Supreme Court Justice. All right. The highly anticipated Tyson versus Aris matchup. Number 13 seed Tyson takes on number 20 seed Aris in the Thrifty 32, Keith.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, the podcast I'm about to mention will have happened already by the time we record this. I would love Vetus' opinion. Who's a better winner, Aris or Tyson, and why, when you speak to him?
Yeah. All right, I'll see if I can show him my bracket and ask him what he thinks.
Yes, and you could refer to a podcast that has not been released yet.
Yes.
I think Tyson definitely wins this matchup, though.
Yeah, I had Tyson as well. I didn't have too much pause, Randy, but what did the Survivor Supreme Court say?
Well, Shireen might win a little bit favor back from you guys. She said Tyson's victory was airtight. The only time he almost lost was in the rock draw, but he knew even then he had the hidden immunity idol, but just stupidly didn't play it. But she still gave him his vote anyway, and it was 9-0 for Tyson.
9-0 for Tyson. Wow. Going
clean
away.
Sweep.
This was a tough matchup for Aris. He could have beaten some of these people, but
yeah,
you know, that's why you want a good seed. That's why you got to do well in the regular season to make it, you know, to get a good seed in the postseason here.
Okay. Todd Herzog, he is the number 5 seed. He is taking on Amber Berkich Mariano Keeve.
I mean, in theory, he's just taking on Amber Berkich because we're just like analyzing the person on that season.
That's true.
Like, we have no knowledge of the future. You cannot give her credit for having 4 children with Boston Rob. Todd is the winner here.
Yeah, I also have Todd moving on to the Sweet 16. Randy, how did the Survivor Supreme Court see it?
Unanimous vote, 9-0 for Todd.
Okay, wow. Mm. The Survivor Supreme Court moving in lockstep for the most part here early on in the Thrifty 32.
Yeah, you don't see that often.
All right, let's move on to the first round matchup that I spent the most time thinking about. The number 12 seed, Natalie Anderson, versus the number 21 seed, Chris Daugherty.
Yeah, I agree. This was probably the hardest matchup in the first round to predict. Again, we're not predicting who we think should win. We are predicting who they voted for, and I think they voted for Chris Daugherty. Although maybe recency bias helps Natalie a little bit. What did you do, Rob?
Yeah, I think that we have some separation here, Keeve. I ultimately ended up going with Natalie. I thought that she is fresher in people's minds and I think made some bigger and bolder moves that I certainly could see like a historical justice like a Mike Bloom going for a Chris here in this spot. But I think that there's enough goodwill towards Natalie to give her the edge over Chris.
So as you said, we have some dissenting opinions here. I think this is the first one you guys have not agreed on. Mm-hmm. So we have Dom and Colin who talk about how Natalie was the one who controlled her own fate a lot more. But then Mike Bloom on the other side says both kind of found themselves in holes in the post-merge with allies close, but he gave it to Chris. But overall, by a vote of 5-4, the winner was Natalie Anderson.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. Natalie Anderson, that's very exciting. What a solace that she missed the season, but she makes a Sweet 16 on a podcast you'll never hear about.
She might hear about it. Look, she'll hear about it before he will.
That's true.
Okay.
He's not on Twitter, Chris?
I don't believe so, no. Not at this time.
Let's move to the bottom half of the bracket. What's going on there?
Okay. We had Tom Westman versus Fabio. The number 2 seed versus the number 31 seed.
Yeah, 9-0, Tom.
Not going for it. No one have any hot takes here in taking Fabio?
Nothing? No hot takes.
You're right. It's 9-0, pretty straight from the top to bottom. Tom Westman, okay. 9-0.
Tom Westman moves on.
I worry for the next round, though, that Tom is untested. You know, he came in with a seed, maybe the most contentious seeding in the whole tournament was Tom's very high seed. Now he rolled over Fabio. He's not going to be game ready for his next round matchup against Parvati or Cochran.
We'll see. We'll see if Tom is ready to go. Okay. Again, this is probably the other really tricky matchup here in this first round. Well, I think there's actually one more. But number 15 seed, Parvati, versus number 18 seed, Cochran, Keeve, what did you do here?
I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer. You know, love Cochran or hate him. You know, he did win unanimously his season against some very strong players. Not necessarily in the end, but, you know, some strong players in the game. I picked Parvati here. I just think that there's a lot of people who are going to disqualify Cochran because they don't particularly like him right now. And I think Parvati still has some goodwill. So I'm going with Parvati.
Keeve, I went with the upset. I said Cochran over Parvati here. I believe while Parvati was very, very good in Survivor Micronesia, I think she benefited from the alliance with Amanda and certainly with Suri. She did not play a mistake-free game in Survivor Micronesia, where I feel like that Cochran played pretty flawlessly throughout. I think he was forced to make some big moves, certainly once Philip gets taken care of for him. And so that's why I went with Cochran over Parvati.
Now, who is right here, Randy?
Well, it sounds like you guys have a split vote here, and so do our Supreme Court. We have a split vote. We have Shireen, who says that Cochran relied on Don's social relationship all game to be alerted to potential catastrophes, so she voted for Parvati. But then we have Don herself saying that Cochran was threat in the game. He was a challenge beast and he controlled the game. Overall, the Supreme Court gave it 7-2 to Parvati.
Okay.
I
knew I had that Dawn vote, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah. You had the Dawn vote, but
you had Dawn and Dom and Colin.
Okay. I had Dom and Colin. That should at least count for 3. They're my favorite justices. Okay. All right. Okay. That was a mistake for me. A rare slip up. Number 7 seed takes on number 26 seed, Michelle Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I would be interested if Michelle got a vote here, but Tony's going
to
win.
Does Team TV move on as I have him in my bracket, Randy?
I would have loved to see Michelle get a vote, but she ends up losing this one 9-0.
Look,
to Tony.
No dishonor in losing 9-0 to Tony.
No, that's a good result for me. You know, she's happy to be there.
That's
she's
a tough matchup for her.
Yeah, you see that on the bracket and you know you're going, it's like Coach K. You're going up against Coach K. Probably not going to happen for you in the first round.
Another interesting matchup here comes with number 10 seed Jeremy Collins taking on number 23 seed Adam Klein. A battle of the very, very recent versus the very recent.
And also unanimous winners, right?
I believe so, yes.
I'm going to say Jeremy won this 8-1.
Okay. I have Jeremy as well. I don't want to give a Supreme Court prediction.
Yeah, I think this is one of the interesting ones where we have two of the members of the Supreme Court that played on the same season as one of the winners. I think that's kind of interesting to follow throughout it. But Jeremy ends up winning this one 6-3.
Ooh, okay. Keeve, that Adam Klein had more support than you originally figured.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little recency bias, I think. But who voted for Adam Klein, Randy?
Adam Klein got votes from Dom and Colin, Don Meehan.
Okay. So wait, so if you do like 4 hours on their podcast, they will vote for you. Okay, next.
It sounds like it. Dom and Colin, Don Meehan, and Spencer Bledsoe.
Okay. Mm, wow. Spencer went Adam Klein over Jeremy Collins. I feel like that this is the headline.
Yeah. No, Spencer's vote should have been like he beat the best runner up ever. That's what Spencer should have written. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
In his words, he said, Adam played much better than we give him credit for. Jeremy will surely win this one. But for what it's worth, here's my vote.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fair throwing enough.
That's like a pity vote, I think. But yeah. Okay.
So Jeremy moves on to take on Team TV in the Sweet 16. All right. Boston Rob versus Jenna Maraska. Any reason to deliberate on this one, Keeve?
No. Didn't he once mistake Jenna for Amber or something or mess up her name?
No. The story was that one of the first times that we at these charity events, it was me and him, his future wife, and Jenna Maraska. And the number 28 seed, Amber Berkich, said, oh, let's take a picture. It's the two Robs and the two Jennas. And we said to her, but you're Amber. You're not a Jenna. You're not the other Jenna. And she said, oh, yeah.
Well, whatever her name is, it's 9-0.
Yeah. All right, Randy.
9-0. Rob wins this one.
Going away. All right.
Yeah.
The other very intriguing matchup here in the round of 32 is Richard Hatch, number 14 seed, versus Sandra Diaz Twine from season 20. Keeve,
yeah.
Where did you go here?
I mean, first of all, thinking about what the other justices will vote. I mean, this is like the best day of Colin's life that he gets to vote for Richard. He's going to try and vote 4 times for Richard over Sandra here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably wondering why Sandra isn't ranked 33.
Yeah. In essence, so, she was. But yeah.
Again, if we made it clear that we're just voting Sandra season 20 versus Rich season 1, Rich is going to win, but Sandra is going to get votes, I think.
Mm-hmm. So what did you put on your bracket?
I put Rich is going to win.
Okay. I put Sandra in the upset.
Oh, that would be interesting.
We have another split vote here. And, well, as Akiva reflected, predicted, Dom and Colin did vote for Richard. Hatch invented the strategy. But then there was some that voted for Sandra, saying that she was already a target when she came into the game as a winner. As Aaron said, her flexibility was able to be valuable enough to keep her around. And the winner for this one is Sandra by a vote of 6-3.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, Richard Hatch. I mean, for Richard Hatch to go down in the first round, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
And this is the one that Mike Bloom is not happy about being a first round matchup.
Okay. Sorry, Mike Bloom.
The only message I got during the tournament, Mike's like, are these scripted? Were the matchups scripted? I'm like, I don't think so.
All right. Is Mike resigning from the Survivor Supreme Court over this, Randy?
Not that I've been told.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, did you get any emails, Randy, like after, like when you emailed the results of the next round to them asking them to make picks? Like, what the hell? Like, why did that happen?
Not too much. There was a couple that in the notes that I'm surprised this person hasn't made it this far. There was a few of those later in some of the comments.
Mm. Yeah, that's what everyone said about Rob every week. Okay, let's go.
Okay, the number 6 seed, JT, takes on the number 27 seed, Vesepia. Keeve, you think there's any drama here?
No, 9-0. 9-0. Put in the book.
I say there's maybe one.
Who's voting for Vesepia? I like Vesepia, but JT season 18, I mean, people were like voting themselves out just to give JT the $1 million. It's such a dominant performance.
Okay. What do you got, Randy?
JT walks away with it 7-2.
7-2, Keith. Oh my God.
Who voted for Vesepia?
What was the dissenting opinion?
It was Aaron Robertson and Mr. Mike Bloom.
Oh my God. What did Mixmaster Mike have to say? Did he even give a comment on this?
Yeah, he said Vesepia was drawing dead coming into the merge, capitalized on fractures with Row 2, won a clutch challenge when she needed it, was able to negotiate a new alliance, and then negotiate another alliance the next day, and get a win when only one of her original tribe members was on the jury.
Wow. Mm. Is Mike Bloom in the running key for LVJ after that?
I mean, I by the way, I totally agree. I think you could make a very strong case for Vesepia being a really underrated winner. She ever came back, she would be so under the radar. She could probably win again. The jury was like trying to raise the $1 million prize to like $5 million and then give it to JT. Like, it's hard to overstate. First of all, like, you know, what he overcame, two against the bunch. And then, you know, it was just such a dominant win. Steven's a really good player. He shut him out. I mean, after season 18, people were saying, you know, pre-Kim Spradlin, pre-Boston Rob winning, a lot of people were saying that JT was the best winner ever. It would, you know, to me, nobody should be voting for
Steven. Maybe a little too much after, you know, a 7-2 vote to make the case. He moves on. It's not like it was an upset, but we get the point.
All right, are you telling me to let's move on?
We could rewind to the draft podcast to get that same exact take on JT.
You think I remember what I said in June? I don't know. I don't even know who's in the next draft.
All right, we know. Akiva loves JT. All right. Brian Heidick, the number 11 seed, took on Mike Holloway, the 22 seed. Keeve, how'd you have this one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of our bigger upsets. I think Mike Holloway is going to win this like 7-2.
Oh, wow. Okay. I went with Brian Heidick. All right. We have another difference of opinion, Randy.
Well, this is another interesting one where we have one of the players from this winter season on it. We got Shireen in here with Mike. But Shireen voted for Brian. Kiva was right. It was 7-2, but it was for Brian to win this one.
Oh, yeah.
Brian walks away with it 7-2.
Kiva. I might have to watch a Star Trek episode.
Why were you so high on Mike Holloway over Brian Heidick?
I have no idea. I don't know. I feel like people are down on Heidick. You know, any self-respecting animal lover, like I know Christine is a big animal lover. How could you vote for Brian Heidick?
Okay.
But again, we're only looking at the page here. Nothing to do off the season. So that's why I'm wrong and these people are right.
Okay. All right. So we definitely both took some hits in that round. I got the Ethan versus Sophie battle wrong and the Parvati versus Cochran battle wrong there in the first round. What hits did you take, Keeve?
Well, I just missed that one right there with Mike Holloway.
Yes.
And I missed Richard Hatch.
Hatch Sandra.
I had him winning and I had Parvati winning. And well, she did win, she, right?
You got that one. Yeah. And the Ethan Sophie, we both were wrong on that one.
Yeah, and then I had Chris Doherty winning.
Okay, then the Chris Natalie. So four hits for Akiva there. But we'll see. Now the damage could be worse.
The points double in round two.
Okay, we go by points. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so here we are. We move into the Sweet 16 where we have our first Sweet 16 matchup. Should we go from the top down, Randy?
Sure, that works for me.
Okay. So Kim Spradlin, the one seed, takes on Sophie Clark, the 17 seed. Two women who once talked about making their own all-female Survivor podcast rival Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes. I feel like if they listen to this episode, they'll realize maybe there's like a niche in the market and they'll probably start it.
Yes.
And be our agent.
Female winners from back-to-back mid-20 Survivor seasons, Kim versus Sophie, they square off here, Keeve. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think this would be a dream alliance, maybe on a future season. People would love that. But I think Kim is going to take this pretty handily.
Do you think it's a shutout?
Yes.
Okay. This will be telling, I think, for how the rest of this is going to go, Randy. I have Kim. How did the Survivor Supreme Court see it?
Yeah, this is a battle between two smart, strategic females. It's a tough draw for Sophie because with Kim's legacy. And as Dawn says, I think it's harder to play a transparent game, and Kim did that and still won 9-0, Kim Spradlin.
Okay. Mm. A lot of momentum for Kim right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one seed, but I think she's really like it's a stomping over Sophie like that. I feel like she's really establishing herself as the favorite to win this whole enchilada.
Okay. The second matchup here in the Sweet 16 is Denise versus Earl. Keeve, what did you have here?
It wouldn't shock me if it went either way, but, you know, I'm going to go with Earl here.
Denise was the 8 seed. Earl was the 9 seed. Again, the Survivor Supreme Court does not have any seeding information. I also went with Earl.
I think they're both cannon fighter for Kim, but let's see who wins.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. It did come down to a 5-4 vote.
Uh-oh.
The Supreme Court was split on this one. But the winner for this one was Denise Stapley.
Congratulations,
Denise.
Okay, wow. Denise moves on over Earl. And that is a problem there for that part of the bracket. Okay.
Well, as Shireen said, they both both winners had bad luck in the game, but Denise overcame worse luck. There seems to be a lot of reverence for her going to every single tribal council.
Okay. Mm. Did anybody give you a dissenting opinion on Earl?
All the actual written comments that I received were pro Denise. There was four for Earl, but none of them wrote a comment on this one.
Okay, that was a tough matchup, the 8-9 to figure. So, Keeve, you were wrong on that as well. So we both are have a mistake there on our bracket. All right, the next battle here in the Sweet 16 is Yule versus Tyson. Yule is the 4 seed. Tyson was the 13 seed. Keeve, how do you see this?
I mean, I just think, you know, Tyson has a weekly podcast on this network. And, I think that maybe buys him a little loyalty with people who are mostly listeners to the podcast. So I'm going to go with the upset here. I think Tyson takes down Yule.
Okay. This is our first disagreement here in the Sweet 16. I have Yule over Tyson, according to the Survivor Supreme Court bracket. Randy, who gets this one?
So yeah, this one is another split one. You have some people on one side, like Megan Z, who says, while Tyson is better socially, I think Yule's overall game is a little sharper. But then you have people like Ali G and Cole who said, Yule had the super idol and still almost lost to Ozzy. Tyson had Tyson. So the winner of this one by a vote of 6-3 was Yule Kwan.
Oh. Wow. Okay, Yule moves on. That's a good point about that super idol.
Yeah, and I should add that's bad for my bracket because I actually had Tyson going a little further than this.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. All right.
Well, and I think Keeve made a good point about the listeners. When we look at our fans did vote 2-1 in Tyson's favor.
Okay, but this was
The whole Supreme Court ended up 6-3.
That's why we have 3 fans, 3 podcasters, and 3 former players. That was all in the Survivor Constitution of how it was going to go down. All right, so then we have a matchup of the number 5 seed, Todd Herzog, taking on the number 12 seed, Natalie Anderson. Now, Keeve, you had Chris in this spot. You didn't by any chance have Chris advancing over Todd here, did you?
No, I had Todd winning. So hopefully that won't be red because a lot of my bracket is red.
And I also had Todd advancing here over Natalie on my bracket.
Yeah, this was another split decision, 6-3 by our Supreme Court. Some saying that Todd just dominated the whole season, while Natalie was bold and strategic on her side. But the vote came down to 6-3 in favor of Todd.
All right, so Todd moves on over Natalie Anderson. All right, we're in the bottom half of our bracket here now in the Sweet 16. We have a very interesting matchup of Tom Westman versus Parvati, 2 members of the Heroes versus Villain season, 1 hero, 1 villain. I had Cochran moving on over Parvati in the previous round, but I did have Tom Westman beating Cochran in this matchup on my bracket. So I have Tom Westman advancing, Keeve. How did you see it? Tom Westman versus Parvati.
Yeah, I had Tom over Parvati too. So hopefully he knocked her off. But I think Parvati's going to get some votes here.
Yeah, this was another split decision that we had. Megan Z says that both had the acumen to create voting coalitions and had incredible charisma. And then you have Shireen. She had some interesting words to say about Tom and voted for Parvati. But the final vote came down 5-4 in favor of Tom Westman.
Wow, that was close. A buzzer beater.
It was very close. It was a last second shot.
Okay. So Tom Westman moves on. And then he will be part of the Great Eight. We have a matchup. First fought in the streets of the 2015 Mr. Survivor competition, the classic Tony versus Jeremy matchup. Keeve, what do you think?
I think Tony's going to win this one. I think Tony wins 5-4.
Tony wins 5-4. It's going to be close. I also had Team TV over Jeremy, but it's such an interesting clash here because they are the two opposite players. When you take a look at the game that Tony had that won in Kagyan versus the game that Jeremy had in Survivor Second Chance, and I've often compared these two players on the podcast, of the person whose game relies on everybody being uneasy and the person whose game is all about making everybody feel comfortable. Tony versus Jeremy is an intriguing matchup, but I feel like the Supreme Court goes with Tony, Randy.
Yeah, not only do we have two runners up for Mr. Survivor, we also have Mr. Survivor on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yes.
Someone who played against both of these
guys.
Yes.
And also that same Supreme Court justice also voted against Jeremy in round one.
So I was very excited to see this one, to see mainly where Spencer went in his comments. And Spencer left no comment on this one.
Yes. Okay.
Oh.
But he loves Tony.
But he punted.
He does. And by a vote of 7-2, Tony walks away with this.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Okay, so congrats to Tony. He moves on. He's part of the Great Eight. He'll be taking on Tom Westman in the next round matchup. Okay, and now here is one. What channel is this on, Akiva? The Boston Rob versus Sandra matchup. Tribe Mates and Heroes versus Villains. Two winners. I guess everybody's a winner.
Yeah, this is a big game. This is like, yeah, I believe everyone left as a winner.
Yes.
Correct. yeah, this is a... You know, the Jim Nance, Grant Hill broadcast. It's prime time on Sunday. We're going to get massive through-the-roof ratings. But I think Boston Rob's going to take it.
I have Boston Rob as well. It's a 3 seed versus the 19 seed. I have Boston Rob, but I think this could be close, Randy.
So yeah, there's definitely votes going both ways. We have Ali Giancola, who mentions that Rob never really had a moment where he was truly in danger or consideration of going home. But then you have Aaron Robertson saying that it was two totally different games. Rob was playing chess in a field of checker players, and Sandra climbed Mount Everest against Titans. So we had some interesting comments both ways.
Boy, I don't even know who voted for who with those two comments.
Yeah. I think a very interesting one was Dom and Colin, who fought back and forth. Nice. They agreed on their vote, but Dom thinks that Sandra's going to win. Colin thinks that Rob's going to win, and they decided that whoever shows up in a future round will get to break a tie based on this win. So if there is a tie, whoever had the right pick here. But the vote was 6-3 in favor of Rob.
Okay. Mm. Could you explain that Dom and Colin thing again?
Yeah, they fought back and forth on this one. They eventually settled on Rob as their winner. But Dom thinks that Sandra's going to win it. Colin thinks that Rob's going to win it. And whichever one of them showed up in the next round of voting as to who survived, whoever picked that person would get to break a future tie.
Okay. Okay.
I still have no idea. Maybe Dom wrote that one in British and then he didn't understand it.
Yeah, put it through the Google Translate. All right. So in like a future Survivor Supreme Court debate, is that who's going to break the tie?
I think they mean in like the third round in the Elite Eight group.
Okay.
Grade Eight.
Okay, so when you email them back in the future, that was going to be that. Okay, Boston Rob moves. Hey, I'm in the Great Eight. All right, so JT versus Brian Heidick. And now, of course, Keeve, you have Mike Holloway versus JT on your bracket. But you love JT, so clearly you went with JT over Mike Holloway here.
Well, first of all, me loving JT is immaterial at this point because I'm just predicting who the Supreme Court is going to vote for.
Well, attempting to predict what the Supreme Court...
They're trying to predict.
Yeah.
Not doing so well so far. Yeah, so we got the farmer against the used car salesman here. And I have JT anyway because I don't have Brian in my bracket. But I think JT's going to win.
Okay, I have JT as well.
Yeah, this was another split vote. But it went 7-2 for JT. In Shireen's words, they both dominated in their game, but JT was still beloved at the end.
So we are now through two rounds here. We're down to the Great Eight of Kim, Denise, Yule, Todd, Tom, Tony, Rob, and JT. I had one misstep in that round. I went with Earl over Denise in the 8-9 game. Really a coin flip. Could have gone either way. Keeve, I believe that you had that and one other misstep in this round.
Well, Tyson.
Yes, you had the Tyson over Yule upset you called.
Correct.
Okay, which did not come through for you. Okay, we'll see how much damage as we head into the final four from the Great Eight. And here's where things start to get really interesting. Kim versus Denise. Kim versus Denise, Keeve. Will Denise give Kim a run for her money. Now, you and I both had Earl moving on to this round, so you didn't think Earl upset Kim here, did you?
No, no.
Okay. Yeah, I had Kim also as well over Denise, and so I'm interested to know if the Survivor Supreme Court ended up having any votes cast for Denise, Randy.
Yeah, it was another tough battle, but Kim does walk away with this one. 8-1
Okay. You know, drip, 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 a little chink in the armor here for Kim. What was the dissenting opinion for Denise?
The dissenting opinion came from Dawn. She said, shocking that anyone could win after a start like Denise had.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So Kim moves on to the final four. Now we have our battle of Yule versus Todd. Here we have two great one-time players. Both played in the middle teens of Survivor, and here we go. So, is a 13 middle teen, would you call that, Akiva? The middle, what, the middle tens?
Is the 13 the middle teens?
No, it's like, I guess, what's the middle teen, like 16?
I think I, like, stopped listening for 5 seconds and someone had a stroke. What are you talking about?
They both
the
played
13, the middle teens.
Yeah, they both played in between 10 and 20 and one. What would you call that?
Okay. Okay. So 12 is not a teen, right?
Right.
So 13 is the first teen. So it can't be in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So I think by definition, the middle teen
all right,
is
let's
16.
Say, let's call it the middle ages of Survivor. How about that?
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. So
that's a whole different podcast doing the different eras of Survivor.
So we have Yule versus Todd, although you had Tyson over Yule in the previous round, Keith, and Tyson was eliminated in the Sweet 16. So how did you see this matchup?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, everyone has had a bracket like this where someone gets knocked out early and you had them going much further. And it's just a lot of red ink on the page. And I had Tyson winning this matchup.
Tyson over Todd on Akiva's bracket. I have Yule over Todd on my bracket, Randy. So what did the Survivor Supreme Court say?
This is another really close vote. It did come down 5-4.
And it's the 5 seed versus the 4 seed.
It's a tough one. We have Aaron Robertson saying that Yule turned every advantage he had into something he could bargain or use as social and strategic capital. But then you have Mike saying that Todd was able to play a fantastic game with no challenge wins, two idols in the hands of a temperamental ally, and a season full of rogue valuables is nothing short of astounding. So you have two pretty strong opinions there between Mike and Aaron Robertson, but the vote came down 5-4 in favor of Todd Herzog.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay.
Upset here in the Elite Eight.
Don't know if I agree with that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be Kim versus
this is what I get
Todd.
For trying to predict an upset.
Okay, Kim versus
should have gone
Todd.
The Obama route, go all chalk, or Dickie V. Anytime they did a bracket, you know, Obama would do the bracket on ESPN, and it would just be like 4-1 seeds in the Final Four every year. I should have done that.
So Kim versus Todd going into the Final Four. All right, so now we have the Tom versus Tony matchup. Keith, how'd you see this one?
I think this is going to be close. I really went back and forth on this. But I think, you know, Tom's seeding was so high that I'm not sure he's going to be able to live up to it.
Could be the paper tiger.
I think Tony's going to win this. He could be a paper tiger.
Okay.
I think Tony's going to win this 5-4 over Tom.
Okay. I, too, went with the upset here of Tony over Tom. That Tom was the 2 seed. Tony was the 7. I wonder if, you know, with Tony being back for Game Changers, I wonder if Tony might be top of mind. So I went with Tony.
Yeah, both winners were able to use their loyalty and honor angle to work with their allies. But it did come down to a 7-2 vote in favor of Tony.
Tony.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And it was see, the 7 seed versus the 2 seed.
You're really into these numbers. This is also what happens. This is like when Kentucky played Wichita State. And it was, you
exactly.
Know, I mean, but...
For the record, Kim and Denise was also 1-8, the 1 and 8.
So. Oh, mm-hmm. Something magical is happening. All right. So now we have the matchup of two other members of Heroes versus Villains, another villain versus a hero. In fact, a hero that acted villainous and a villain that acted heroically in that season. Rob versus JT. Keeve.
I have Rob winning this. I'm sorry to my boy JT. This is as far as I can take you.
Okay.
I told you, JT, I would take you as far as I could, but this is the end of the line. I also went with Boston Rob advancing the number 3 seed over the 6 seed. Tell me it's 6-3 in favor of Boston Rob.
Well, by a vote of 6-3, Rob wins this one.
Oh, Keith, something's happening here.
Oh, boy. I feel it.
Okay. All right. So now our final four here is Kim, Todd, Tony, and Boston Rob. Who's Cinderella here?
I think Todd Herzog is Cinderella.
I think so, too. He's been on a magic carpet ride.
His seed was pretty high, but still. I wouldn't have been shocked, again, if he had gotten knocked off by Tyson. But, I mean, Todd is great. He's not undeserving to be here, but he's definitely, you know, which one of these doesn't belong? It's definitely him.
Okay, only one-time player that's here on the board. He's got a tough matchup here, though. This could be the end of the line. Kim Spradlin versus Todd Herzog, okay? I had it as Yule. You have it as Tyson. Does any of it matter, Keith?
No, it doesn't matter. I think Kim is going to win this matchup. I think Todd will get exposed in a round this late. I also think, by the way, you know, people are going to say, hey, how come you didn't open this up to fan voting? I am not, other than the Todd slot, which maybe that's Tyson, they would have picked the exact same final four. Okay. There's a 0% doubt in my mind. I think that Kim Spradlin is going to the championship match over Todd here.
Okay. All right. I, too, had Kim advancing to the final two. Randy, what did the Survivor Supreme Court say?
Yeah, a lot of the Supreme Court referenced Todd's great final tribal council and talked about how he had played a solid game. Kim also was very effortless in playing a flawless game. As Dawn says, she reminds her of a police officer who pulls someone over and manages to get the driver to say thank you after giving them a ticket. Kim walks away with it 9-0.
Oh, wow. Kim is picking up momentum, Keeve, heading into the finals.
Slight stumble with Denise losing a point, but strong going into the finals.
Wow.
So she's lost one vote so far. Pretty crazy.
So far.
Yeah. Okay. So Kim sits there and awaits either Tony or Boston Rob. What a matchup. What a dream Redemption Island season that might be, of a tribe led by Tony versus a tribe led by Rob.
Yeah, that might be season 35.
Okay. All right. That's fine. How'd you see this one of the 7 seed Tony versus the 3 seed Boston Rob?
Definitely one of the blockbuster moments. I think Kim Spradlin was just hoping this matchup goes to overtime. Tired of them out for her in the finals. Definitely one of the toughest matchups to call. I think the fact that Rob is a higher seed, even though that's sort of our doing and not their doing, at least like indicates that maybe in our small sample size, he's thought of slightly more highly. They definitely both get votes here, but I think Rob wins.
If we were going to just try to look at the Survivor Supreme Court, you got to figure that Spencer is a vote for Tony. I feel like that there's been some Boston Rob bashing at times by a couple of these different decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court. But I do have to say, I think that Boston Rob had a nearly flawless victory in Redemption Island, whereas I could tell you 5 things off the top of my head that Tony did wrong in Cagayan. So it was exciting. And it was volatile, and it was a great season as opposed to Redemption Island, which was very boring. But Rob just had the whole thing on lockdown. I have Rob over Tony.
Yeah, this was a tough vote. It was very split. I will say it did end up 5-4 in the voting.
Wow.
You want to
go one by one?
One by one.
Tally the votes.
Oh, you want me to say who voted what?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Probst.
So we have Ali Giancola, we have all 3 of our fans. We'll say that. All 3 of our fans, Ali, Aaron, and Christine, voting for Rob.
Okay.
We have all 3 of our former players, Shireen, Spencer, and Don, voting for Tony.
Fascinating. That's really interesting.
And it comes down to the podcasters.
Puts it down to the podcasters. We have Dom and Colin on one side, voting for Tony. Okay, we have Megan Z on the other side, voting for Rob, and that leaves us with Mike Bloom.
Okay, what do you think Mike Bloom goes with, Keeve?
I think he votes for Boston Rob. I think he's voted for the person who played first every single time.
Yes.
In every vote.
Yes. Now, Mike is our most traditional justice on the Supreme Court. I do think he probably sides in favor of the older school player, Randy.
Yeah, Mike has been taking a lot of constitution lessons from Haley Ford and did go with Rob Mariano.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
5-4 for Rob.
Team TV.
Upset.
Did he say why or no?
Mike said that Rob made near-perfect moves every episode and never found himself in danger once Ometepe dominated post-merge.
Hey, you see that, Tony? Okay.
Our finals here.
Is there a third-place matchup?
The third place we don't have to go too in-depth. As I said, when I asked the Supreme Court for the winners for the fourth round and the finals, I gave them all the potential possibilities that it could be. So we do... They did technically vote on a third place.
Okay, so the third place game was Tony versus Todd?
That is correct.
Okay. Keeve, how do you see this? Is this a bonus?
I think Tony wins. Yeah. Tony wins.
Yeah, Tony's got to win this going away.
8-1 for Tony.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
You know, everybody is talking about Todd gave a speech. Well, I'll give a speech that will be a million times better than Todd.
All right, third place, Tony Vlachos. That's impressive.
Yes, third best winner, according to the Survivor March Mad Dogness bracket. Okay, Kim versus Rob. Okay, what a dream matchup this is. Two people that won in the 20s. Rob on his fourth time, Kim on her first time, but dominant wins by both. Not a clean sweep by either, but here they are. In the finals, I think that Rob has had a tougher road to get here, that he had to go through Sandra. He had to go through JT. He had to go through Tony to ultimately get here to Kim. Kim has only had one vote cast against her along the way in a matchup against Denise Stapley. Keeve, how did you see this finals matchup?
You know, Kimberly Brooks Breiland-Wolf is from the city of champions, San Antonio, Texas. The Spurs usually win in odd number of years. It's an odd number of years, 2017. I think she's going to take this down like 5-4.
5-4. Now, going back to the Rob versus Tony matchup, all three of our former players voted for Tony over Boston Rob. I have to feel like that all three of them will probably vote for Kim. If they didn't vote for Rob over Tony, I can't see how they vote for Rob over Kim. I wonder then, does Kim also sway some of the fans as well? Can she pull over one of those fan votes? And I feel like that she's probably at least, Dom and Colin, they voted for Tony also over Boston Rob. I had Kim in my bracket, but I think that this is Kim, and I think it's probably by at least 6 votes.
So yeah, this was a tough vote.
I think you should go one by one.
Okay, well, let's go one by one.
So as you mentioned earlier, all three of our former players voted for Tony in the last round against Rob, and they continued and voted for Kim over Rob this round. Shireen, Spencer, and Don, clean sweep for Kim for those three.
Sweep it.
And when we look at our fans, it was a split 2-1 in favor of Rob. We got Allie and Christine both voted for Rob on this one.
Okay.
So we're down to a 4-2 vote here.
Okay.
In favor of Kim. And all three of our podcasters voted for Kim, making it 7-2. Kim as the winner of March Mad Dog.
Wow.
Ness.
How about that?
Mazel tov to Kim.
How about that? Wow. Okay.
The key to really making it to the finals is to have like 8 children. That's what I've learned.
Is that what you're doing?
Good survivor. Yeah. I thought like if you want to be good at Survivor podcasting with a survivor, it's just have a lot of kids. That's why I have 4 kids.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to Kim Spradlin, the winner of the Survivor March Mad Dogness bracket. Keith, not a big upset here today. The chalk ended up winning this out.
I guess. I mean, I feel like Kim wasn't like more than the 3-point favorite over Rob in the finals. He had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tony would have been a more of a wild card.
Yeah.
In the finals against what would a hypothetical Kim versus Tony matchup have looked like, Randy?
A hypothetical Kim versus Tony matchup also ended us with 7-2 in favor of Kim.
Okay. There was no stopping Kim.
Yeah. Have we gotten to the point where Kim might be overrated?
I mean, she can't be underrated, put it that way. She just annihilated an entire field of people.
Yeah.
I will say this. I have some casual friends that, you know, Jeff Probst, proverbial people on the street. And when I have mentioned to them, you know, the type of person who maybe just watches the show, maybe they, you know, they go to Live Know-It-Alls, but they don't listen every week, or they just read Dalton Ross, or they go on the Survivor Facebook page. And when I mentioned that, like, Kim is generally considered the best player ever, they looked at me like I was strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, not that they don't like her, just like they didn't realize she's held in such high esteem. So it is possible that we have, you know, pumped her up too much. But again, we're just judging this on one season. And for us, season 24, it's hard to really point out a lot of flaws in Kim's game. Absolutely crushed people, and I think she's a worthy winner.
Okay, certainly. It'll be interesting to track if Kim should ever play Survivor again, but at this point, why should she?
No, she shouldn't. She definitely
no reason
should.
To.
She could only, like, even if she wins a second time, they'll be more nitpicking than now.
Yeah. Okay. Randy, thank you so much for all your hard work with the Survivor Supreme Court. And I'm very happy that we have finally assembled this body to settle any other Survivor grievances that we have.
Absolutely. I had a great time. The Supreme Court was great to work with, and you guys were great. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. No controversial judgments like the previous time the Survivor Supreme Court had a ruling of Roe versus Ben Wade. It was really...
Oh, no.
we don't even talk about that one anymore, Akiva.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. So, Akiva, so it looks like you're going to be watching some Star Trek.
Yes, you did beat me.
It was close.
You know... It was close. I guess congratulations to like Antonio Mazzaro. You have to come on my podcast and do the hot takes contest because Rob's not doesn't have to do it. But what do you beat me by, like 3 points?
I think that really you had a couple of...
The Tyson miss really knocked me out because I had him going like 2 extra rounds.
Yeah, that was big. But it wasn't...
But we both nailed the final 4 exactly.
Yeah. No, we both nailed 3 of the final 4.
Yeah, I'm saying like the actual outcomes in the
right,
final.
Right. Yeah, so we're like-minded.
Yeah. All right, so you'll let me know, or the listeners will let me know which episode of Star Trek I have to watch.
Star Trek and Next listen, Generation, yeah.
I also, a few, you know, an hour ago, I called all 7 Star Wars movies terrible. I'd like to retract that statement. I've never seen them. They might be great. I've just never put in the time to watch
all right.
them. Don't, like...
Fair enough.
Write in the comments, wah, Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're great. Who knows?
All right. So let me know which Star Trek episode. Can it be a 2-part episode, Akiva?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
Anything that takes me away from. It's
fine. All right. So we will have that in the feedback section of one of these podcasts over on post show recaps coming up on a week where we're not super pressed for time. We will get to that. All right. And then you can follow Akiva on Twitter. He is at Keeve26. And send us your bracket. I mean, so let us know if you had this exact bracket. Well, what did we get? You're going to Venmo $2 to anybody that had the perfect bracket, Akiva?
Oh, perfect bracket. I will Venmo you $2. That's correct.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That Akiva.
But only one person. If
the first
if it's like
person.
30 people, they have to.
The first person.
Yeah, that's right. The first person to send.
Okay. And if you want to hear the hot takes contest and much more coming up on the 32 Fans podcast, how do you find that podcast, Akiva?
You just search 32 Fans in iTunes.
Okay. All right. Did we forget anything?
Probably. We definitely did we say who won?
Yes.
Like, I'm not
yes.
sure.
Yes. All right. All right. Well, great stuff. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast for more nonsense like this. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. You can follow Randy on Twitter. He's at Randy Noop. That's at Randy KNUP. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.